This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave time. Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. We're going to continue to track the coalition party room discussions in Canberra throughout the show as we take you around the globe. Tonight, we've got Paul back from holidays. Welcome,
hello.
Paul. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Have been missed. Dean is on the panel.
G'day.
Damien, welcome.
Hi, everyone.
And I'm Matt. Tonight, we are off to a country that is known for its scandals of parliamentarians dressing as women and having their compromising sexual situations splattered across the front pages of tabloid press.
All papers, I tell you, it was every single paper.
Those papers. Just come back from the UK yourself, haven't you?
Yes.
That surely must make it extra difficult for a cross-dresser trying to quietly get on with their life. Yes, tonight we're off to the United Kingdom. Many gay people cite coming out as one of their great challenges of their lives. But what is it like to come out as a cross-dresser? What are the physical and emotional changes a crossdresser feels? And as a straight man, how do you introduce the concept that you are a crossdresser to your female partner?
To unpack the complexities of crossdressing in the UK, tonight we are speaking with Katie May, an out and proud crossdresser and author of the book Man Can Wear Dresses Too. Now, we've got a taste of what's coming up today.
And before we do that, we should also state that tonight we will be using a mixture of gender pronouns.
Yeah, so this is tonight's actually a tricky one for us, and we're going to do our best. If we do slip up, please bear with us. So when our guest, we actually spoke to our guest, Katie, as a woman, and that really is the story of Katie dressed up as a woman. There are situations where Katie is not dressed, and we'll sort of try to make use of he and she where it's correct. So here's a taste of what you've got coming tonight.
People say you're a transvestite or a crossdresser, and I say, do you know what? Does it really matter? I'm a man who likes to wear women's clothes. I emulate being a woman. I present as a woman at certain times of my life. But I think when I dress, I feel, in a very corny way, I feel that although I'm male, I'm heterosexual, I have a female partner, there are times when I feel there's a part of me which is female. So when I dress, I feel like I'm actually filling that void that's within me.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Across to Switzerland first, where a lawsuit is being filed against a homophobic bishop. Pink Cross, who we have actually spoken to before, you can find the podcast on our website. It's the Umbrella Association for Swiss Gay Groups, is filing a criminal complaint against Vitus Hunder, the Catholic Bishop of Chur, one of the regions there, for the homophobic comments that he made in a recent speech. The lawsuit was set to be handed the public prosecutor today, their time.
You missed out the best bit, Matt. The reason that these people are not happy is because he quoted Bible verses calling for gays to be put to death.
Yeah. So he's sort of taken the 2,000-year-old Old Testament, Leviticus. If a man also lies with mankind, he lieth as he lieth with a woman. Both of them have committed an abomination and shall surely put to death.
We actually had a very funny Facebook comment a few weeks ago on our Facebook page, which said, is it okay if we just stand?
If he's found guilty, he can face up to 3 years in prison.
It's a very tricky case for them, so he's going down the line of the Bible. It will be interesting to see how that goes. But good on Pink Cross for raising that and taking him to task for his comments.
perhaps setting a bit of an example for the rest of the religious community.
Over in Nepal, the first person to carry a passport bearing a third gender has finally happened. This acknowledges the identity activism that has happened over a number of years and is being recognised in their legal system, the basis of self-identification.
And what they're doing, they're marking the password with the letter O for other rather than the traditional F for female, M for male. There's only a limited number of countries that recognise more than male and female on travel documents, and Nepal has certainly been at the cutting edge of this.
It's pretty amazing. I've just noticed, just in general now, that gender is getting a bit more recognition, just doing surveys and whatnot. Now, there's been a few that I've done, and it asks, you know, male, female, and then sometimes there's up to four options saying other or not willing to specify. Or
well, that's because Australia is one of the seven countries, along with Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Malta and New Zealand, that actually officially recognise more than two genders in some way.
And there was a big thing with Facebook just recently too, where they added in all sorts of various gender variations.
Oh, about time too.
Over to Iceland, where a huge rainbow has appeared in the centre of the capital city. But unlike a normal rainbow, this one's underfoot. One of the central streets have been painted in rainbow colours as part of the city's annual Gay Pride Festival. Dozens of people gathered to help to transform the road, including the mayor, who grabbed a roller and took on the yellow section. Even children lent a hand.
Aww!
One of Iceland's biggest events, more than 100,000 visitors are expected during the week of festivities, which is equivalent to about a third of the country's population.
It's more than that. The population's only about 233,000 in Iceland.
Yeah, it's like so everybody turns out. It's like a big festival and very welcome.
That's amazing.
I remember when we interviewed the head of Pride there in Iceland, and they at the time they had the world's first lesbian prime minister, and we said, you know, does anybody refer to her as the lesbian prime minister? And she said, only the international press.
Well, that's typical, isn't it? Unlike the rainbow which we had in Sydney for Mardi Gras, this one's going to be kept until the end of summer.
Over in the US, a number of anti-gay groups are calling for a national boycott of their Target stores.
Now, their target, it is important to note, is different from our target.
And there's no link whatsoever.
Other than using their logo and things like that. So, yeah, it won't affect our target, fortunately. But tell us more, Paul.
They are boycotting it because it signed a legal brief supporting marriage equality. How dare they?
Oh, my God. And what are these organisations that are actually trying to boycott Target? Tell us their names.
Well, it's the National Organisation for Marriage, Liberty Council.
We've heard from them
and
before.
Our favourite?
Favourite.
What's our favourite?
American Decency Association.
Yes, the American Decency Association. I love it. Read some of their quotes. This is just gold.
Well, they say that the support for same-sex marriage is a slap in the face for millions of pro-family customers.
It is indeed. Those poor pro-family customers with nothing better to do.
And I hope people will go into Target stores across the country and tell them that they are no longer going to buy their products because Target are joining in the attack on the institution of natural marriage, they say.
Join me in telling Target today that they are out of touch with consumers and they have insulted the millions of Americans who have voted to uphold marriage as the union of a man and a woman, wrote the National Organization of Marriage President Brian Brown. Tell them how much we resent being fashion bigots and haters for doing so. Lots of exclamation marks, all their own.
The Decency Association is asking people to actually cut up their Target credit cards. Not spending in the US, that's a sin, isn't it?
Well, we know where we're going. I know where I'll be shopping next time I go to the States.
That's right. Across to Africa now, in Uganda, dozens of members of the LGBT community, which risk all sorts of things by being a member of our community.
Like death.
Have held a pride parade and pride events in Entebbe on the shores of Lake Victoria. As we've reported many, many times here, Uganda's quite a hotspot for homophobic violence. So for them to come out and march down the streets very proudly is a significant step ahead.
Did they march during the dead of night in a tent? Was it an open pride march?
Yes. Not large, about 100 people, but they were waving their rainbow flags. And it's all about raising awareness of there actually being gay people in Uganda.
Although the organisation, the event had, the actual specific event had to be kept under wraps until the day of the event.
That's right.
Just for their own safety.
And so they didn't have to dodge as many Molotov cocktails.
So the good news there, though, is that the legislation that was passed last year was to legalise homosexuality. It's now, I guess, the process of getting the social tide to turn.
Now, before we go in brief around some other news around the world, back here to Australia, where the Coalition Party Room is currently meeting to decide the fate of a gay marriage vote. So this has been running since about 3 o'clock this afternoon. It was a late meeting called because out of an original meeting this morning where they decided there was not enough time to discuss this. It seems that pretty much every MP wants to have a say, which is why it's taking so long. We're just getting from Australian Marriage Equality that it is now the minister's turn to speak. So basically all the backbenchers have had their say. They're now on to the ministers. So we'll keep tracking that for you to see how it goes.
Of course, the main reason they've decided to bring this to a head is because that way the Conservatives can effectively roll the small L Liberals by having a vote called before everyone's ready for it.
Yeah, and the controversy that's been put forward this afternoon is that the Prime Minister, Mr Abbott, has called a joint party room. So it's the Nationals who are overwhelmingly against changing the status quo on marriage and against same-sex marriage. So he's called a joint vote between Liberals and Nationals, which has outraged some Liberal Party supporters. We will keep you up to date as that develops. In brief, around the world.
Acting legend Omar Sharif's gay grandson spoke openly on Egyptian TV to 4 million viewers.
In South Korea, studies have shown higher proportions of South Korean women support same-sex marriage and LGBT rights compared to men.
And across in the UK, the bomb scare that stopped the Brighton Pride March for 90 minutes turned out to be a pinhole camera.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam, Apple, and Top from Apple Models in Thailand. The world's first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
Our theme, speaking about cross-dressing in the United Kingdom. A message has come in from an anonymous person, Greg Hunt, on the project tonight, that said he was proud of his party's progress. We're also getting through from Sky News that the selection committee has decided that the Ench-Butler marriage bill will be introduced to Parliament on Monday. So that's not saying that there'll be a free vote. It's just that the bill will be introduced next Monday. And we'll keep you up to date throughout the night. Let's get into our cross-dressing show tonight with some fun, fast facts.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your fun, fast facts.
So cross-dressing is the act of wearing items of clothing commonly associated with the opposite gender within a particular society. However, it's important that it doesn't indicate transgender identity.
It actually doesn't indicate a whole heap. So it isn't explicitly linked to sexuality at all.
Or fetishness or homosexual behaviour.
And there's lots of examples of cross-dressing in history. So it goes back to, there's many examples in Greek, Norse and Hindu mythology, and a reasonable number of historical figures, we might introduce some of those tonight, have also been found to be cross-dressers.
Like J. Edgar Hoover.
Like J. Edgar Hoover, indeed.
That was a surprise. Mm.
Now, back in the Elizabethan times, in Shakespeare's play, you would have found all the theatre groups were the same sex. In fact, women weren't allowed to step onto the stage. So they would have been cross-dressing actors who would have been playing the opposite sex.
It was a big Shakespearean thing, wasn't it?
When big you also, Shakespearean
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Shakespeare in Love, that movie I saw. That.
Women have also indulged in cross-dressing to take up male-dominated or male-exclusive professions, such as the military service. And conversely, some men have dressed up as the female gender to either avoid or disguise themselves in a political or social protest.
So the women want to get in and the men want to get out.
Well, I don't think it's quite that simple, Matt, but, you know, it's something that appears to have been utilised by both genders for a variety of different purposes.
Cross-dressing has also famously been used for comic effect on stage and on screen.
Now, some of the other definitions that... let's try and sort through the names, the definitions. So, drag is a kind of... It's performance art that is based on cross-dressing.
But it's done, I guess, in a very overt way. So
it's meant to make things obvious that you are a man dressed up as a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The flip side of a drag queen is a drag king, which is where a woman dresses as a man in the same sort of way and performs.
And then, not to be confused with transgender, which is a state of one's gender identity or gender expression not matching their assigned sex. So this is a whole separate kettle of fish.
And there's a few other kettles of fish that I learnt tonight. Female masking is a form of cross-dressing where a man wears masks that present them as a female. Didn't know that one.
That was new to me.
And gender disguising has been used by women and girls to pass themselves as men in their society, and by men and boys to pass themselves off as females.
And there are some other sorts of genderfuck is one that comes to mind. So where others take a mixed approach to whether they are masculine or feminine. So it's a very deliberate thing to confuse people and make a statement, I guess.
Like a man wearing a dress but also a beard.
Conchita
Wurst, there you go.
Our anonymous messenger has come back. Yes, Greg Hunt's comments about progress within the Liberal Party were about same-sex marriage, so he's happy with the progress. I haven't seen the progress yet, personally, but anyway.
Hello, Australia. This is Gabrielle from Luxembourg. From the other side of the world, we share in your fight for same-sex marriage. Good luck to everyone at Joy 94.9.
Tonight we are talking cross-dressing, and we had the pleasure of speaking with Katie May, an out cross-dresser and author of the book Men Can Wear Dresses Too. Now, most people would agree that coming out as gay is a challenge, but if you're a straight man who happens to be a cross-dresser, there's a whole new level of complexity in your life and how you fit in with others. We asked Katie to tell us about when she first tried cross-dressing.
I was 9 years old, so we're going back to the dark and distant days of 1969 or thereabouts. And I guess as a young boy in that summer, so in the summer of 69, something just didn't really feel right. Something just felt like there was something in my world that wasn't quite gelling. And I had a younger sister who was 4 years younger than me, and I just kept looking at her and thinking, why does she get all the pretty dresses? Why does she get all the bows and the ribbons? And she can have, you know, all these colours and styles. And I've got the usual sort of plain brown blues and greys. And I was a nine-year-old. I couldn't rationalise out the social issues around it. Just in my head, it didn't seem right. An opportunity arose on one summer's afternoon. And my parents, my father was working, my mother was out with my younger sister. And I decided I was going to make this journey up to my sister's room and try on some of her clothes. And so that's what I did. I crept up the stairs and into my sister's room and sorted through some of the clothes that she had and found, which seems crazy now looking back, but it was a cowgirl outfit, so I think it's a cowboy. It was a cowgirl outfit, so it was a skirt with frills around the bottom, a little bolero jacket, and I found some frilly knickers that she used to wear. And so I tried all this stuff on, and I don't know, somehow just the gap that was there, this void that seems to be there, had been there for a number of months, just suddenly seemed to be filled. It suddenly seemed to be the right thing. In this intensity of doing this, I hadn't realised that my mother actually came back. It was an old Victorian house, timber staircase. I heard the stairs squeak, realised she was on her way up, and it was literally just going to be a few seconds before she appeared in the room. No time to change, mind panicked. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll dive under this huge, big cast iron frame double bed that we used to have in the house. And in diving under the bed, which I thought was a brilliant plan for a 9-year-old, the frills of the skirt caught on the frame of the bed. An absolute true story. So as my mother appeared in the room, all she saw was these two legs kicking from under the bed and a pair of pink frilly knickers. And her comment was, there's a little giggle, and she just said, "Oh, Gary, when you finish with your sister's things, can you make sure you put them back?"
Wow.
And left the room.
I mean, you were obviously scared then, so did that response surprise you?
I guess she assumed as a 9-year-old it was just one of those things, it was play, and, you know, I don't think she thought any more of it. But I guess for me, it should have taught me the lesson of life. Cross-dressing is that there was the absolute high in a way of seeing yourself cross-dressed for the first time, realising that that was going to be part of your life, and then the whole guilt and being caught doing it and the embarrassment of that all in that same one episode. And I guess that probably, you know, that would be most cross-dressers' experience, I think, of life in general.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we've stopped off in the UK to talk cross-dressing. Another message has come in. Masking is a worldwide group. ABC had a show about it. Thanks for that message.
We've been talking to Katie May, who's a cross-dresser from the UK. We live in a world where, for many people, there is a need to fit in to a group, to have a label. We asked Katie at what age she was able to define herself as a cross-dresser.
Oh, I think probably that was fairly recently. I mean, that was probably within the last 10 years. But I suddenly realised, actually, that labels don't really matter. And I think it's a societal thing and a cultural thing that we get very caught up in trying to actually pigeonhole people into little boxes. And people who don't quite fit into a box, people who don't quite fit into, whether it be on religious grounds, political grounds, gender grounds, people struggle somehow to deal with that. And it's probably only in the last 10 years with a new partner. I'm heterosexual. I've always been heterosexual. I was married for many years. I have found a new partner, a very lovely lady, in the last 8 years. And I think it's only in that time where the cross-dressing has been more out and open with her that I've suddenly realised that actually labels aren't really that important. People say you're a transvestite or a cross-dresser. And I say, do you know what? Does it really matter? I'm a man who likes to wear women's clothes. I emulate being a woman. I present as a woman at certain times of my life.
In your book, you've said, I believe that for most transvestites, the desire to cross-dress is more than just a simple fetish, a quick sexual thrill. I believe the desire to cross-dress is something that is spiritual, emotional, and inherent. How do you feel differently when you change clothes?
Well, I think when I dress, I feel, in a very corny way, I feel that although I'm male, I'm heterosexual, I have a female partner, there are times when I feel there's a part of me which is female. So when I dress, I feel like I'm actually filling that void that's within me. I become much softer physically. So the physical symptoms, I become much softer. I speak much slower. I'm less prone to bouts of anger. So I don't get upset quite as easy with things in life. My mannerisms change. I'm very aware about how I move when I'm dressed. So if I'm getting out of the car when I'm dressed, I think very consciously about swinging my legs out, keeping my legs together, standing in a certain way, whereas a man, you know, just open the door and get out. So it's not just about wearing the clothes for me. It's about actually presenting as close to female as possible. The term used, I'm sure you know, is called passing. You know, you want to pass as a female. And cross-dressers will go to extraordinary lengths to do that. I know cross-dressers who will have boob implants to try and make their figure better. They will have very strict diets and very strict exercise regimes to try and keep themselves very thin and very slim.
You talked about stigma. Is stigma any better or worse within the gay community towards cross-dressers as opposed to the broader general public?
I think there is stigma in both. But I think it's slightly different. So I think from the general public, the stigma is about misunderstanding and ignorance. There's just not enough information out there about cross-dressing. There's just not enough information for somebody who doesn't know a cross-dresser. What they believe is what they see on TV. And quite often you'll see, certainly on British TV, transvestites, cross-dressers, almost portrayed as a comic figure. So you'll see the man with hairy legs in a 5 o'clock shadow. From the gay community, I think, and I might say something that's slightly controversial, I think there's very much a hierarchy and it's about commitment within the LGBT community. So I think gays and lesbians and transsexuals feel they're very committed to what they're doing. They live their lives against their belief.
Whereas I think there's a perception that if you're a cross-dresser or a transvestite, it's almost a bit like you're playing at it. If you were really committed, you'd be transsexual. Certainly in the UK, I can't speak for the whole of the world, but certainly in the UK, and we are generalising, but my experience is that when I talk to some of my gay friends, they sort of say, well, you know, if you really want to dress as a woman and be a woman, you'd be transsexual. And the stigma, therefore, is it's a bit like you're playing at it. From the gay community point of view, they've worked very, very hard, really, really tough over the last 40 years, lots of discrimination to be recognised and to get the equality that they deserve. And you don't really see that same commitment from the cross-dressing community. It's all a bit flowery.
You identify as a heterosexual man, and you said that you have found a woman and formed a relationship. I imagine that would have been a pretty tough discussion to introduce the fact that you are a cross-dresser into that relationship. How did you do that, and how did she react?
It's a really good question, because I think that's something that, again, for cross-dressers, it's one of the pivotal moments in their life when they meet somebody. So I was married for 24 years. I dressed all the way through that period. My wife never knew. It was always secret. It was always a very private thing. And I did that because I didn't believe she would understand or empathise with who I was. When I met my new partner, I made the decision quite early to tell her. But it's quite a difficult thing. You know, you just met somebody you've fallen madly in love with. We were in our mid-40s when we met, so we weren't young people in a flush of love. We'd lived lives. And whilst I'd made the decision to tell her, I didn't quite know how to. I didn't quite know what was she going to do, come home and have a cup of tea and say, oh, by the way, you know, I like wearing dresses. It didn't quite work that way. But what I decided to do, in my male moment, was I decided that I would take some photographs I'd taken of myself dressed, and I would present them to her in the form of a mock website and just see what reaction she would get, and that would be the way of introducing it. Unfortunately, while preparing the website, I left some things on the desktop, on the laptop, and she went to the laptop to do something else and found them. So the opportunity to disclose it to her didn't really occur. She found them.
You are listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. That was the voice of Katie May, an out UK cross-dresser and author of the book Men Can Wear Dresses Too.
That was a bit of a cliffhanger, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, Katie was there just explaining how her partner found out about his cross-dressing. They are in a heterosexual partnership. We've got the rest of that story after the next segment, so stick around, because you might very well be surprised about what his partner says. It's quite intriguing.
You've got me hanging, Matt. I think I'm going to hang around for a little while longer.
Excellent. You're not going anywhere. Look, I go back to the very first, really interesting things, the very first time that Katie tried cross-dressing. First of all, the cowgirl outfit, that cracks me up. But
Every time.
The highs and the lows. So the high of the first experience, but the low of the guilt that follows. That's quite a, you know, quite an emotional roller coaster to go on.
I think any time that you're engaging in anything which I guess you're conflicted about internally, you're going to have those sort of emotional roller coaster. I thought what was lovely though was the initial reaction from Mum, which was, you know, when you're done, just make sure you put your sister's stuff away, would you?
And they never actually, we had to clip a little bit out of the interview, but he also mentioned that his mum never mentioned that again, so it remained silent.
We should ask if his mum knows now. Well, I guess she would have seen the book.
Yes, and documentaries and things. Also, I was interested in, and I guess I'd never really thought about this, but the physiological changes. So when he dresses as Katie, he said there are, you know, his voice changes, his touch becomes softer, like real, it's a full body change. It's not just putting on a piece of clothing.
Yeah, something he said, which really I think he captured quite nicely, was that it was a spiritual, emotional, inherent part of him. You know, it's a multifaceted.
It's not an act. It's right
from
the inside.
Yeah, but it's embodying their whole person.
I wanted to really get into this stigma issue, because I could anticipate quite easily the broader community not really understanding it, therefore fear and stigma. The question about the gay community and this idea that you're not going the full way. You're not being real. You know, if you were really into it, you'd
that
go the full way.
That just irks me no end.
But that's a similar message that you get from the bi community as well.
You mean a similar message delivered to the bi community?
Yes,
from
from the rest of the gay community. Mm.
How do we make changes in that? How do we help in that area?
Do you know, I think the biggest problem is that most people have a binary way of thinking. And so this doesn't just relate to what we're talking about tonight, which is gender, or what gets a lot of airtime on the station, obviously, is sexuality. It's kind of getting your head around that the human existence is so diverse. You know, it's a spectrum. It's not A or B. It's not, you know,
not everybody fits in a box.
It's not black and white. Well, no. And if you want to box people, there's certainly more than two boxes. And that goes for gender, that goes for sexuality, that goes for beliefs, it goes for anything. So people really need to, I guess, broaden their mind a little bit and kind of accept that, hey, people have a range of experiences. So in Katie's case, there are parts of him which identify with the male gender, and then there are parts of her, if you like, that identify with that. I heard just on the weekend on Queries, I believe, that said gender is just a social construct. We are taught, or we learn, that you're either male or female, and that's it. We don't even, that is so deep in our belief system that we don't even question it.
We don't question it. Yeah.
A lot of people, though, in their experiences, wouldn't actually get beyond the two ends of the spectrum.
Perhaps not, but you need to accept or have space for in your mind that others may not be confined to the gender binary.
I think there was also, I sort of heard from Katie, some acceptance that there is some responsibility within the cross-dressing community. So accepting that the LGBT community had made significant ground over the years in taking on discrimination, in fighting for rights, but the cross-dressing community has been very quiet. So I think Katie was very cautious not to criticise gays for making progress, but to actually say, well, we need more visibility. And I guess that is where writing a book like that is about, raising visibility.
But even in that, the gay community is rather a broad umbrella term, because I'd say that the trans people don't believe they've had the same kind of equality that the gays and the lesbians have.
So you are going to get to hear what happened after this little break, what happened when Katie's partner discovered the evidence of Katie's cross-dressing. You're on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Scott from the Equality Network Scotland on the World Wide Wave.
Tonight we are joined just briefly by Michelle from Transpositions, which is airing at 9, so stick around, who happens to have been listening to our show thus far.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed it.
Now, one question we've got for you, Michelle, is can you see the parallels between the discrimination and the issues facing just the cross-dressing community with the transgender community in terms of not going all the way?
Look, there's a lot going on between the two communities, and one of the things we try to do in the show is really try to change the perception of the cross-dressing community as well. Like, most of us, I know myself in particular, back in the early days of transition, I actually discriminated quite a bit against them because they were associated so much more with sexual activity than with the transgender community. And
so that actually contrasting, you know, or I guess mixing transgender with the sexual aspect, which are completely separate.
Completely. Where, like, what time is it? what can I say? Look, you know, in some of those photos, you'd see, people, wearing underwear as sexual fetish, where, I'm not, I didn't give two cares. So,
and what have you got for us coming up on the show tonight?
Well, tonight on Transpositions, we're talking about employment. The folks from Workout at SenseWide, they're coming down to speak about their services and how they can help the transgender community and getting back into the workplace.
Awesome. Stick around to hear that. That's Transpositions, 9 p.m. tonight.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
We've been speaking with Katie May from the UK, and you'll recall that Katie planned to set up a website to show his new partner images of himself cross-dressing or passing. And his partner found the images before he had a chance to explain to her. Here's what happened.
And it was a very difficult time, and the difficulty actually was, and she writes one of the chapters in the book, the difficulty for her is about honesty. It's not about cross-dressing. It's about being honest with her. And so the problem she had with it, and the reason why we went for a very traumatic few months, was she felt I'd been dishonest with her about who I was. If you can find the way, as a cross-dresser, if you can find the way to speak with friends, to speak with loved ones, and explain it to them, then I think more often than not, you'll get a positive reaction. I can't say everybody. Cross-dressers of the world, please don't take this as an open invitation to run out and tell your loved ones, because everybody will react differently. But I think that more partners, wives will have, girlfriends will have the problem with the honesty and the respect factor than they will actually with the cross-dressing. If you're a transvestite or a cross-dresser, is the natural evolution of that to become transsexual? So I think her concern now, her worry now is there some day I'm suddenly going to say, oh, actually, I'd really like to live as a woman full-time, whether that be with reassignment surgery or not, and how would she then deal with that? There would be nothing left, really, of the original relationship with the man. So I think that becomes the issue of dishonesty and respect then becomes an issue about, well, where does the line get drawn as we go forward?
Writing your book, Men Can Wear Dresses Too, it makes your coming out as a cross-dresser incredibly public. Has that been a positive experience for you?
Alongside the book, we were invited by Sky TV to participate in a documentary that was shown in the UK. And the combination of the book and the documentary, we thought would literally blind, you know, my cross-dressing to the world, and we'd have, you know, hundreds of people that we knew, family and friends, and people who didn't know. There are still members of both families who don't know. You know, this would suddenly get this barrage of calls and emails. All that was shown on Sky TV, just slightly later than prime time. We had two friends who happened to see it, who just telephoned and said, oh, we've just seen this and we didn't know, and oh, it's very interesting, can you tell us more about it? And with the book, generally the feedback has been from people who don't know us, and the feedback both from the TV programme and from the book has generally been positive. People are they're curious, they want to know more.
Katie May, author of Men Can Wear Dresses Too, thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave.
No problem at all.
Absolutely fascinating. I'm quite blown away tonight by Katie's honesty and to a degree bravery, because this is it's one of those topics that, you know, nobody really wants to deal with. It's there, and to be able to speak so openly, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are cross-dressers who have probably been nodding away thinking, yeah, well, I know what you're talking about.
Well, that's one of the reasons why it still makes headlines, certainly back in the UK when it's seen on to be a high-profile person that's come out and doing it.
And indeed, we've had a message in, love your show, I wish more people would listen and not be ignorant and biased towards people who are happy in their skin. Thanks for that.
Amen. Yeah, we like that. You. You can message in more often. And just a note to people listening who may be able to identify with Katie's journey, there is organisations out there which cater specifically to the cross-dressing community. One such organisation is the Seahorse Society of New South Wales, which has been established since 1971. So they've got a web presence, which is www.seahorsesock.org.
We'll post that on our Facebook page as well. So go to W3Joy on Facebook and you can find out more.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
Now, we're winding up tonight. No further news out of Canberra, I'm afraid. So,
No news is good news?
Keep us, well, maybe, maybe not. Keep an eye on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, W3Joy is the shortcut that will get you there. Like us. We post news from all around the world throughout the week. A big thank you to Katie May, out and proud crossdresser and author of the book Men Can Wear Dresses Too. The book is available on Amazon, Google Play, or your favourite online bookstore.
And as we said before the break, for more information on cross-dressing in Australia, visit gendercentre.org.au or seahorsesock.org.
We'd like to thank all the people that have sent messages to us on Facebook. That's Teresa, Adam, Greg, Doug, Luca, Shane, and heaps more. And as Matt said, W3Joy on Facebook to find us there.
And as always, a thank you to the lovely Gordon at the front counter.
Now, next week, we're off to Iran. We're speaking with the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. Believe it or not, we've got some good news coming out of Iran for the LGBT population.
No way.
Can't believe it.
It's been a worldwide wave. We'll be back same bat time, same bat channel next week here on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.